A few months ago, I was talking to a friend named Brian, and he asked me a very interesting question. He said, what do you think is the biggest issue that people face in your community, in your church, or in your community of faith? What's the biggest threat to people's lives in your community? It's not a very encouraging question to think about. It's not something fun you want to think about, but I mean, honestly, as a pastor, I do think about it a fair amount. And immediately when Brian asked me that question, my mind went to some of the bigger things. I thought, well, maybe one of the biggest threats or biggest issues we face is lust or addictions or something like that. Because, I mean, we all lust after something, or we're all addicted to something. It's not just like alcohol or drugs or things like that. Some of us are addicted to work. You know, some of us are addicted to our image. Some of us are addicted to unhealthy relationships. We're all addicted to something. So maybe that's the biggest threat in our lives. Maybe it's consumerism. We talked about that a little bit last week, where we live in this culture where we're so ingrained by our culture to expect and to want instant gratification out of everything we buy and everything that we do, that it just changes the way it shapes the way we view everything. And sometimes we even approach God or church or religion that way as well. Thought maybe that's it, or maybe it's just the tough circumstances in life we face, right? I mean, sometimes it's just, you go through tough seasons and you're out of a job, or you're out of a place to live and you're looking for that, or you're just going through one of those, you've gotten bad news, or there's been a health scare or something. Those are certainly huge threats in our lives. But if the question was more about what's something that we can control that's a danger to us, or what's something that's within our grasp to do something about, what's something that we control in our lives that presents one of the biggest dangers or threats to our faith, to our lives, to our community, I think the answer is a whole lot more subtle. I think the answer, it's even so deceptive that we don't even think about it or talk about it that much. I think one of the biggest issues that we could face as a community is gossip. Now, before you hear that answer, and some of you think, well, that's not something I face. I'm not somebody that like spreads rumors. I'm not someone that gets involved in that. Or before you think, maybe you roll your eyes in your head, not visibly, but in your head, and you think, oh no, here we go again. It's going to be like one of those sermons. Hang with me for a little while, because gossip was actually a really huge issue in the early church, and there's a lot about it in the Bible. It was a really huge issue then, and I think it's still a huge issue today. And I think we all take part in it in some form or fashion, and we don't even realize it or don't even know it at times. And so it's probably good to stop today and think about it a little more deeply. Because I think oftentimes we think it's just kind of one of those things. It's harmless. It's not a big deal. But that's not what people in the Bible said. In fact, that's not what Jesus's little brother his name was James. He took this issue really seriously. In fact, I want to read for you some verses that he wrote in a letter he wrote in the New Testament. We've actually read some of these verses before, but they're worth reading again. In chapter 3, and we're going to skip around a lot today, so if you want to look these up yourself, you can. If you just want to follow along, we'll put all the verses on the screen. But in chapter 3, verse 2, look at what James says. He says, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." In other words, we all have our faults. We all have our weaknesses. We get that. Like we could all go around today and agree. We all stumble in many ways. And he says, look, but if you can be perfect all the time in everything you say, like if every word that comes out of your mouth is always perfect, there's nothing wrong with it, it's perfect in everything you say, then great, that's awesome. And you're able to keep your whole body in check if you can be perfect in what you say, which is kind of an odd thing to say. So he goes on and explains that a little bit more. In the next verse, he says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. So basically he says, let me throw out a couple of examples for you. Think about a huge horse, and if you want to guide wherever a horse goes, you just guide its mouth. And so we just put bits in the mouths of horses, and if we can control the bit, we can control its mouth, and we can control wherever this huge animal goes. Or think about a huge ship, and how underneath every huge ship, there's this little rudder. And that little rudder is the one thing that steers the entire ship. And he says, so in light of that, our tongue, or our mouths, or our, or the words we speak are kind of like that. They steer everything. They can make great boasts. In other words, he's saying there's tremendous power in just this one little part of our body, our tongue, or our mouth, or the words we speak. There's huge power. We can do amazing and great things just by the words we speak. But he goes on, and look at what he says in the next verse. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. It's kind of like another example he's giving. But then he says, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. He doesn't hold back here. So he kind of gets like, something going on. You got some repressed like emotions going on here, James. Like, what? Where did this come from? And yet, he just unleashes this, like, let me give you another image. There's this huge fire that can destroy an entire mountain landscape. We've seen that, you know? And just think, a little spark can start a huge forest fire. And guess what? Your words, your tongue, your mouth, the things you say can be just like that. They can cause worlds of destruction. Just the words you speak. And I think perhaps the words that James was thinking of the most, and we'll see this in a few minutes, the words that were wreaking so much havoc in many of the early churches that he was helping to lead, the words that can wreak so much havoc in our lives and in our relationships and our families and in our community, I think the words he was thinking about were words of gossip. Now, let's take a second and define what this word gossip means. It's used, the word gossip is used several times in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. So remember, Paul was this guy who went around and he planted churches, and then he would kind of see how they were doing, and there were lots of divisions and factions and just tough stuff going on in these churches. So he would write letters and he would talk about this issue of gossip. It's also used in the Old Testament. And in fact, there's a proverb, Proverbs 16:28, that says this: a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip or a gossiping person separates close friends. So this word gossip, whether it's used in Hebrew, which is what the Old Testament was written in, or it's used in Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in both languages, the word gossip literally just meant whispering about somebody else, like murmuring or saying something about somebody else in a way that's divisive, as we can see from this proverb. Now, let's look at a definition straight out of the dictionary. This is just a regular old English dictionary. Gossip: casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Now, we usually focus on the second part of that definition. We think gossip is pretty much, it's just about rumors. It's spreading rumors. It's talking about people and saying things about other people that are probably not true. It's anytime you spread or pass along or maybe just listen to a rumor that potentially isn't true. And that's part of what gossip is, but it's more than that. If you look at the first part of this definition, it's simply talking to people about someone else in a casual or unconstrained way, in a way that potentially paints the person that you're talking about in a negative light, in a way that is potentially unflattering about the person that you're talking about, in a way that you would never say if that person was right there with you. I mean, that's what gossip is. If you wouldn't say the things that you're saying to a group of people about that person if they were there with you, then that's what gossip is. And James would say those kind of words, when we speak them about other people in that kind of manner, those kind of words are like, they're like a spark. They're like a match. They're a potential fire, and they can cause so much destruction. James goes on, going back to his passage, he says this in verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. There's that word again. Full of deadly poison. So there's lots of things we can tame. We've tamed all kinds of animals. You know, we can put them in zoos and in cages and all kinds of things. But there's one thing that we have a really, really, really hard time taming. And that's our tongue. It's our mouths. It's just the words we use. And we've just got to realize every time we open our mouths and speak words, they have the potential to be full of deadly poison, he says. He goes on, verse 9. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. Let me stop there before we read the rest. Basically, he says, and this is where he doesn't use the word gossip specifically, but it's pretty clear this is probably what he's talking about, because he says, we can come to church and we can sing hallelujah, praise to God. We can sing about him, we can talk about him, we can say all kinds of nice things about God, and that's good. Like, that's really good. And then we can walk out and we can say like mean things about people who were actually made in God's image and likeness. That doesn't make sense. How can we praise God in one second, say such nice things about him, and then talk badly about other people in another breath and say unflattering, negative, bad things about them? He says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So in this passage, he like loves to throw all these images at us from nature. And he starts saying, I mean, think about it for a second. Can like one tree produce two different kinds of fruit? That doesn't make sense. Again, we can't say nice things about God one minute and then go around and say things that are hurtful or rumors or things that are untrue or things that are just not flattering about other people. It just doesn't make sense. And so when we talk about other people that way, it can be destructive. It can be like a fire. It can destroy their character. It can destroy their reputation. I mean, when you talk about someone else to another group of people, in the words you use about them, we can destroy their character, we can destroy their reputation, we can destroy what other people think about them. We can destroy relationships. We could ultimately destroy a community just with the words we use. So, why do we do it? Why is it so easy for us to gossip? I mean, why is it so easy for me? And this sermon, sometimes, you know, you feel like you're talking and it's just kind of coming back at you as you're talking. I mean, why is it so easy for me in a casual and unconstrained way to talk about somebody to other people? And in doing so, to maybe just point out some of their weaknesses, to point out some of their faults, to say things that are potentially unflattering about them, to say things that I would never say if that person was sitting right there with us. Why do we gossip? Why is it so easy for us to gossip? Well, I think there's a few reasons. I think sometimes we do it just because we don't like other people very much, right? I mean, it's just easy to talk about other people that we don't like very much. I mean, it's easy to do this at work. I mean, think about some of your coworkers. You have coworkers you're not too crazy about, right? And it's just easy to talk about those people to other people. It's easy to say, well, yeah, I'm sure he didn't get the project done because we all know he's lazy, or, you know, yeah, she's not here today. She's probably hungover again, or whatever it is. You know, it's easy to say things about other people that we're not too crazy about, that we don't like. But we got to realize when we say those kind of things, that's basically just gossip. Sometimes we talk about other people in these kinds of ways, and we point out their faults or their weaknesses because somehow that makes us feel better about ourselves. And we might even do this about people we do like. We might even do this about friends, about roommates, about even spouses. I mean, it's easy for little comments to slip out about somebody's faults or someone's weaknesses, and it does happen with people we like because we actually know their faults and weaknesses better than anyone else. I mean, we've gotten to know them. And so it's easy in casual conversation when you're talking about someone to just kind of point out their faults, their weaknesses, say something about them. And in doing that, it somehow makes me feel better about myself because I don't have those faults and weaknesses, because I don't struggle with that, because those aren't my issues. And any time that I point out someone else's faults, it just makes me feel a little bit better about myself. But if we're honest, that's gossip. I mean, if we wouldn't say those things, if that person was standing right there, then it's gossip. And I think James would say those words are like fire. Sometimes we gossip about people that we don't like. Sometimes we gossip about people just to point out their faults. But I think the time that we probably gossip the most is when other people hurt us. When someone else slights us. Someone else does something to us that's unfair. When someone else wounds us in some form or fashion. My immediate reaction when someone does something else to me that I don't like, or it hurts me, or it takes me back, or it could just be the smallest little slight, you know what my immediate reaction is? It's to tell somebody else about it. It's to go talk to my friends and say, can you believe what he did or what she did? Because you know what I want? I want them to look back at me and say, yeah, I can't believe that. That's horrible. Like, yeah, you have every right in the world to be mad at them and, you know, all those kind of things. And yet, when we do that, essentially, I think one thing that's happening is that's our way of hurting them back, to go talk to other people about them. It's kind of our way of getting back at them for hurting us. But James would say, hey, just be careful. Your words, they're like fire. And sure, this is a tough situation because we should all have trusted friends in our lives. I mean, we all need people to go to when we're hurt, right? We all need people to go to that we can confide in, that we can vent to, that we can like say, oh, this is what's going on. It's this horrible situation. I need your help through. We all need that. So we recognize that. But I think James would say to us this morning, be careful. Don't forget, your words are like fire. And when you speak them about someone else to other people, you know what you're potentially doing? You're potentially changing that person's image in their minds. You're changing what they think about that person. You're changing the kind of character they think that person now has. They're probably going to now treat that person differently or view that person differently. They might tell other people about what that person did to you. And those other people will tell other people, and they'll tell other people. And sooner or later, we've all seen it, the rumor's spreading, and there's all kinds of junk going on. And the gossip taking place is worse than the actual initial thing that happened. I think James would say, oh, that's the destructiveness of our words. Like, that's the power, the destructive power of our words. Solomon saw this happen. He was a very wise man in Israel. And so he actually wrote down a proverb about it. Proverbs 26:20 says this. says, without wood, a fire goes out. And without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. So he says, you know, there's quarrels, there's conflicts, there's things that happen between people that have the potential to divide us. But there's a way to address those things. There's a way to figure out how to resolve those things. There's a way to make that quarrel die down and to do it without gossip. But when we gossip about it, it's like you're just adding wood to the fire. And I forgot, I was actually going to bring some wood in this morning from our fireplace and start stacking it up right here to kind of create this image. But every time we gossip, every time we say something about someone else that's potentially unflattering, that points out their weaknesses, that points out their faults, our words are like wood that we're just adding to that fire. And there's no telling what kind of destruction that fire can do. So, what do we do about it? Well, in light of this series, you probably know where I'm going with this. What if we gave up gossip? What if we figured out a way to give up gossip in our lives? What if we figured out a way to stop putting wood on the potential fires in our relationships, in our families, at our work, in our community? What if we just found a way to stop gossiping? It sounds really simple to say, well, let's just all give up gossiping. Let's go do it this week. No gossip. And yet it's really, really hard. And so I want to give you just a few really practical suggestions for how I think we can start moving in this direction in our lives. How do we give up gossip? Number one, when someone hurts you, don't talk to others. When someone at work treats you unfairly, when a friend does something that feels like they stabbed you in the back, when someone hurts you or wounds you, or just even in the smallest way slights you in some sort of way, when someone treats you unfairly, don't talk to others about it. There are two people that you should talk to about it. The first person that you need to go talk to about it is God. Go talk to God about it. I mean, you feel like you've been wounded. Maybe you've got a legitimate grievance. You go and you let God have it. Like, you let God know everything that happened. You pour out on him all your feelings, all your emotions. You say all the things that you want to say. You let God have it. Go talk to God about it when someone hurts you. And then the second person that you need to talk to when somebody else hurts you is the person that hurt you. Go talk to them about it. You need to go confront them about it. You need to go, before you talk to anybody else, you talk to God, and then you just go talk to them about it. Because the most honorable thing you can do, the most respectful thing you can do, the most loving thing you can do is to actually go talk to them about it. Now, maybe they started the fire. Maybe what your legitimate, you know, your beef with them is legitimate. Maybe they really did hurt you. Maybe they did really did wound you. But if we go around telling everyone else what they did to us, it's possible that what we're doing isn't any less destructive than what they did to us. And so this is why whenever someone comes up to me and they share with me how someone else has hurt them, I always say, hey, I really want to help you, like as a friend or as a pastor. I want to help you through this. And so the first thing I want to ask you is, have you talked to them about it? Have you talked to God, and then have you talked to them about it? Because the best way I can help you walk through this tough situation, and again, it could be totally legitimate, the best way I can help you is to figure out how you can go talk to them about what happened. Now, is talking to God and talking to them, is that going to resolve everything? Does God just say, oh yeah, that was horrible, I'll just zap him for doing that to you? Like, does that happen? Not always, not usually. Does talking to them, like, resolve everything? I mean, when you go, hey, did you realize that you, like, stole my project and put your name on it and took credit for it? Like, I don't know if, like, I mean, just talking to them always, no, not always. Like, they don't always say, oh, really? I'm so sorry. What can I do to make it up for you? It's, I mean, conflict resolution, it's hard. It's messy. It's difficult. It's challenging. And there's a whole lot more we could say about it, but when it comes to this issue of gossip, we got to realize the words we speak have so much potential for destruction. And if we go around telling everyone else what happened to us and how they hurt us, then it's probably gossip. And it's probably just adding wood to the fire. It's not pouring water onto the fire. So, when someone hurts you, don't talk to others. Second suggestion, shut down gossip when it comes to you. Shut down gossip when it comes to you. Now, maybe you're here today and you're one of those more quiet or introverted people. Maybe you don't say many negative or mean things about other people. My wife is one of those people, and she's amazing. And she has one of those special gifts where she can just take things and she can process them internally and she can take them to God. And she's just, and maybe you're this way, maybe you're just not as prone to gossip as most of the rest of us are. But if that's you, what it means is that your role is a little different, because what it means is you're going to be the person that people are going to come to gossip. You're going to be the person that people come to looking for comfort, looking for reassurance, to tell them how horrible it was, what they did to them, and to hear all of the things. You're probably going to be the recipient of a lot of words because people trust you. People confide in you. And so what you need to do, you've got a different responsibility and role. You've got to figure out a way to shut down gossip when it happens. And this is hard too. I mean, it's hard. It's hard in the moment when someone starts talking about someone else in a really negative way or sharing things that really paint that other person, or maybe the rumors that you're not even sure are true. You've got a responsibility in that moment to stop and say, hey, hold on. I really want to respect this person. And so I want to encourage you to go talk to them first about this. Like, I just really want to respect them. So I want to help you through this. And the best way that I can help you through this is to encourage you to go talk to them. So how can I help you go address this issue with them? Or maybe it's when discussion comes up about someone, and maybe it's just you and another person, or you're in a group, and maybe it's just stopping and saying, hey, I know this is kind of one of those sticky situations, but I don't want to add any wood to the fire. There's this ancient proverb, and you can whip out your Bible and, you know, don't do that, actually. But I just don't want to add any wood to the fire. And so I don't want to say anything that we wouldn't say if they were here with us. Now, I've had somebody do that a few times in my life. And it's always a bit jolting. And you feel a little bit called out. You know, you feel a little bit judged, like, oh, are you saying that I was gossiping? I wasn't. Well, yeah, I was. But and it just kind of takes you back. But I've had people challenge me on that in the past. And even in the moment, if I'm taken back and feel a little bit like, oh, that was awkward and weird, I've always walked away and appreciated it so much. Like, I've always walked away and thought, oh, what a great friend. What an amazing friend who's willing, in the middle of a conversation where we potentially start talking about someone else in a negative way, what an amazing friend to stop us and say, hold on, before this goes any farther, let's just kind of be careful with what we say. And so if you're one of those people, the best way you can be the best friend, the best spouse, the best roommate, the best coworker in the world is to figure out a way, as gently as you can, as loving as you can, as kindly as you can, shut down gossip when it begins. So, don't talk about other people when they hurt you. Try to shut down gossip when you can. But number three, maybe the best way we can give up gossip is by taking up silence. That, not like Benedictine monk like silence, but in those moments where everything inside of us just wants to say something about someone, we want to vent about someone, we're so frustrated with them, or there's one of those comments that just kind of comes up and we want to say something negative about someone else, or there's some new juicy piece of information that we heard about them, we can't wait to tell other people. In those moments, maybe it's just stopping ourselves and saying, oh, if I wouldn't say it if they were here right now, then I probably shouldn't say it at all. And maybe the only thing I can do is just not say anything. Maybe I just need to be silent. Because any words I say have the potential to do damage or destruction. So maybe the smartest thing I can do right now is just not say anything at all. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He wrote to some of his friends in Ephesus in Ephesians 4:29. He wrote, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Which provides a great standard for us, right? Whenever I'm going to let words out of my mouth about someone else, I can ask the question really easily, does this benefit them? Does this build them up? Is this encouraging about them? Is this positive about them? Or is this in any way going to tear them down? Is it going to tear them down? Is it going to be unwholesome in any form or fashion? And if it is, maybe the smartest thing I can do right now is just be silent. Is to not say anything at all. Now, I haven't really held back this morning. And I was thinking, I need to add a few jokes in there, because this is going to be like hardcore the whole way about this issue of gossip. And but I'm not really good at thinking up jokes on the spot to lighten things up. But the reason I don't think we should hold back on this is because James didn't hold back on it. Solomon didn't hold back on it. Paul didn't hold back on it. And guess what? Jesus didn't hold back on it either. I want to read you one more passage. Look at what Jesus said one day. This is from Matthew. He said, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Yeah, Jesus doesn't hold back. And he basically says this is a heart issue. I mean, it starts with what's in our hearts. It starts with what's going on here. And just basically what's going on here eventually comes out here. And so... if you want to know if somebody's following Jesus in their hearts, if you want to know if they're trying to follow Jesus in their lives, the easiest and best place to look is just in the words they speak. Look at the words they use. Look at the words that they speak about other people. And so Jesus says, look, one day you'll stand before me face to face. We have no idea what that's going to look like, but somehow we're going to stand before Jesus one day, and he's going to say, if I want to know how you followed me in your life, if I want to know how you tried to like be on this journey of faith in your life, the best place that I can look is the words you used. And so just let's give an account of all the words you use. What are the words that you used about other people? Were they encouraging, uplifting, or were they destructive? Did they tear people down? Now, that doesn't mean we all have to be perfect. That doesn't mean we have to have it all together. That doesn't mean we're not on a journey. That doesn't mean there aren't emotions deep down inside of us sometimes that are really hard to grapple with and wrestle with, and we're mad and we're frustrated and we want to say really mean things about people sometimes. But what it does mean is that Jesus takes our words really seriously. And he says, maybe the best place that you can start learning how to follow me more in your life, maybe the best place that you can start to actually reshape your heart is actually to begin with your words. It's to think about the words you use. Now, one other reason that I think that this topic is so important It's because I really do think gossip has the potential to destroy our community. Like our, not just big community, like our specific church or our specific community. I mean, I've seen it happen. We've all seen it happen where a rumor takes, you know, starts going around a group of people, or things are said about certain people in a group of people, and it just gets bigger and bigger, and it's like the fire, it's like more wood, and every person that kind of gets involved and hears about it, and he said and she said, it's like more wood just gets added on and on to the fire, and pretty soon there's just like this wake of destruction of like information and destroyed relationships and destroyed like commitments and broken promises and basically a destroyed community. And if we want to be careful, if we want to follow Jesus together, and that's ultimately what it's about. Sometimes I have this notion that following Jesus is just kind of my personal relationship with him. I'm just kind of on this journey by myself. It's not like that at all. We're on a journey together. And if we want to be on that journey together, and one of the most important things is to be aware of the things that could divide us, the things that could distract us, the things that could pull us off of that journey together. And gossip is probably the biggest threat to that. So what would it look like if we gave up gossip? And if it required it, we took up silence as well. Now maybe I've been, as I've been talking, or as we've read some of these verses, you felt a need to confess something to God. Maybe you felt a need in your heart like, oh yeah. Oh, I can think about that I said and that I said and this morning. Maybe you felt a need to just come before God and confess and say, oh, this is something that's really hard for me and I want to do better and I need your forgiveness and I need your grace and I need to repent or just figure out how to work on this in my life. That's ultimately why we take communion here regularly, because you can't really do this on your own. This isn't something you can just try harder at. There's not just a filter. It's not a program like that we can just download and put a filter on our mouths and like it'll, you know, filter out all the bad stuff. You can't just work harder at it. It ultimately begins by embracing, believe it or not, some words that Jesus himself used. On the night before he went to the cross, he took some bread and he said, this is like my body broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, this is like my blood poured out for you. And so we regularly come to this table to embrace, to remember, to receive the grace and the forgiveness and the healing that he offers us. We come back to the cross regularly to also receive empowerment, to be able to say, because you have forgiven me, because you have lavishly given your love and your grace to me, Jesus, I can now go out and begin to be a part of giving it to others, especially as I think about the words that I use. And so Jeremy and the band's going to come up now. And they're going to begin singing a song in a moment. And it's just our custom here. We do this regularly to take communion together. And what we do when we take communion is to, you can just take some time in your seat. And if you want to pray silently, you can. If there are some things to confess, if you want to take some time and just meditate and say, God, help me, help the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable to you. If you want to take some time to do that, that's fine. If you want to come up pretty quickly, you can. But whenever you're ready, you can just come forward. And you break off a piece of bread, and then you dip it in the wine or the juice, and you can take it right there, or you can take it back to your seat. But this is our way, for those of us who follow Jesus, this is our way of once again putting our faith in him and saying, we surrender ourselves, surrender our lives, our hearts, and even the words we say to you. And we believe in you and we trust in you again. And if you don't want to do that today, that's fine. There's people that don't participate. You can sit in your seat. No big deal. But let's take a few moments and come back to God again this morning. Let me pray. God, we do confess. It's so easy to fall short in this area in our lives, when we think about the words we speak about other people, and so we just want to take a moment and reflect on the words that you speak about us. Words that don't tear us down. Words that don't judge us. Words that love us, that accept us. The words of a father who's so overjoyed when a son or daughter comes back home. And so, God, we reflect on that this morning. We reflect on the fact that your love was demonstrated to us, and that while we were yet sinners or gossipers or whatever it is, Jesus came and he died for each one of us. Thank you for the cross and thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending your son for us this morning.